Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
School of Humans. Oh my god. It is another episode of Cadaver Gals, the show where we talk about all the ways you can die for us to cope with our own mortality. I don't think it works, but that's okay. We're still going to be doing it, fear-mongering, having a good time. Okay, I'm your host, Gabby, along with Nika.
Hi.
And Taylor.
Hello.
Also known as Taylor. Before we start, I wanted to tell y'all something really important, which is I was having a bad day because it's so like gross outside. No. It's like grim and rainy. But then I remembered that I have 4-inch platform boots that are iridescent. So I put those on and I'm like, how the heck could I not be happy with these shoes?
Wait, I want to see them.
They're kind of muddy right now because I haven't fixed them, bleached them again.
Oh, those are beautiful.
Nice. We'll post a picture of those on Instagram for everyone to see.
And that's what I was thinking about. Like, it's good to be grateful and stuff for the things that you have and that can make you feel better.
Oh my gosh, Gabby, this is like a very weird, earnest moment for you.
But I'm saying specifically be grateful if you have iridescent 4-inch platform boots.
I want some.
When we're rich, that will be our merch item.
Oh, yeah. Taylor is like horse girl, you know, unicorn vibes. Like that fits you perfectly, Taylor.
So anyway, be grateful, y'all, especially if you have these type of shoes because they're cool. Anyway.
That's like extremely specific. I don't think that'll work for everyone. But thanks, Gabby.
Okay, you know what? I'm working on my degree in psychology. No, I'm not, but I am going to be like Dr. Phil, who's not actually a doctor. Anyway.
Oh, I talk about Dr. Phil today. Sorry.
Oh my god. Wow. Yeah. So that brings us to the part where we say what we're going to talk about, which is we're going to be talking about a dog with a drug problem. And then we're also obviously going to be going to Florida.
Obviously.
Because that's where you go when dogs have drug problems. Absolutely. Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen in Florida, but Nika's going to tell us something crazy that happened. A hint is eating people. Love Florida. And also, I'll be going on some tangents about some hoaxes that are related to the things that we're vaguely talking about. So it's going to be a good time. Today's content and trigger warnings include pet death, Taylor crying because of a pet death. Well, I don't even know if it's a death. We'll see. Drug use, animal maulings, cannibalism, decaying corpses, murder, and Florida, heaven forbid.
And Dr. Phil.
and Dr. Phil. Watch out. So anyway, thanks for joining us for another episode of Cadaver Gals. We'll get into it after our theme music.
Cadaver Gals.
Oh, yeah. As always, we sang along with the theme song. As always, we're predictable. What can I say? But we are going to now hear a story from Taylor, and we're going to see if she can get through it without crying. This is a test.
It is a test that I will likely fail.
This is a test because that's what Gabby's learning in psychology, Dr. Phil's psychology school.
Yeah, exactly.
It's make sure that your friends talk about triggering things and then try to get them to not cry. I'm pretty sure that's the exact opposite of therapy, just like bottle things in.
I think this is Freudian. So I'm going back to Freud methods because, you know, he was right.
Great.
That's what they say.
Okay.
Questionable. Anyway, Taylor. Okay.
Can I tell my story?
I'll stop bragging about my genius. Yes, okay. Go ahead.
As Gabby just said, it's going to be hard for me. But you know what? I'm doing it for all you cadaver pals out there. So.
All of you vibrators out there.
All of you.
Sorry.
Five cadaver listeners. So we all work in the film and TV industry. I've really only done one documentary, which I really kind of hate doing them, but it's often like a longer period of time. The crews are smaller and all the things that you would normally do and have, you don't always have. So anyway, basically I would have a heart attack filming like Tiger King. You've got guns, tigers, things like that. Really stressful for a producer. So this is a story that goes back to 2017. A film crew was at this 47-year-old man's house. His name was Mario. They were filming a documentary series for the BBC called Drugs Map of Britain. It's a show, a documentary series where they go through different parts of the UK, mapping specific areas and their drug of choice.
Their drug of choice.
Yes.
Mine's melatonin.
This particular episode was cocaine. So they're filming, I guess Mario had been doing cocaine, which... After that, he begins to have a seizure. From what is assumed to be a result of this drug use.
Did they have a set medic?
No, that's what I'm saying about documentaries. It's like you don't always have this. Given this was like a BBC documentary series, so they probably had more than you would for those like Tiger King type documentaries, if you know what I mean.
Are you saying there's no money in documentaries and therefore they cut corners?
I don't.
What a surprise.
I don't know about the specific incident or situation.
I don't know. I'm rich off of the podcast game, the nonfiction yeah.
Okay,
podcast.
Gabby.
Look at me. I'm a rich. Also, Taylor, can you please clarify? Are you saying that cocaine is bad for you?
Cocaine is not something that is good for you. Therefore, it is bad for you.
Therefore,
vis-a-vis, it's bad. Anyway.
Great. Dr. Taylor, wow, you're going to take away all of my professional knowledge from me.
Well, okay, so obviously this is already a bad situation, right?
Yes.
Mario's not doing so hot. He's having a seizure. Well,
I hope they stopped filming.
All of the articles that I read, they did not get very specific, but the film crew did jump into action. But first, Mario's dog, Major, who is a Staffordshire Terrier, sees his owner having this seizure fit and lunges straight for the owner's throat, mauling him in front of the film crew. So somebody from the film crew, they're like calling 911 or whatever it is in England. They're calling to get an ambulance, they're calling the police. You know, other people in the film crew are trying to get the dog off of the owner. He's like latched onto his throat. So,
I don't like that at all.
I like, your neck is like so fragile. Like, there's so many important things going on in there. And it's just like this tiny little, like, skin enclosure that's holding up like your huge ass head. Like, I don't.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That was like the worst way of describing a neck. That's your tiny skin enclosure and it holds up your bobblehead. Like, that's terrible, Taylor.
It is terrible.
No, Taylor's a doctor, Nika. Right, she knows what she's talking about.
Well, it's just funny because last week's episode, we mentioned how sensitive the throat and the neck is and how that's what's important to choke people correctly. And now it's like this dog mauled its owner, grabbed onto the neck, which is funny because there's also a mauling in my story. That's so funny.
It's not so funny. I do not like it. The throat. Anyway.
I mean, the most insane part about it for me is that it's like Mario and Major. Like, it sounds like a sitcom. It sounds like a Disney sitcom.
Well, it definitely wasn't a sitcom, but a drug documentary.
I can't tell the difference, honestly, sometimes.
Taylor, only the facts. Taylor, only the facts, church.
All right, back to the scene. He's getting mauled. So, the filmmakers are like, oopsies, what the hell?
The police, the ambulance, they're on the way, but it takes them like 30 minutes to get there. And this part like confuses me a lot. Like in all of the articles that I read, it said that it took the cops 10 minutes to get into the apartment because of like the way the door was locked or something. But I'm like, I guess the film crew was unable to lock it from the inside because like other articles said that they were like trapped inside for like 10 minutes. So it like took them like 10 minutes to break down the door so that they could get into the scene. So that's horrific.
I guess that makes sense. If you're like a drug dealer, you probably have a lot of locks. I'm just assuming, or I don't know about Mario, actually. I don't know what's up with him, but I assume, you know, probably if you have lots of drugs, you're going to make sure people don't get in.
I mean, yeah, but also, PSA, that's like a huge fire hazard. Like if there's a fire and you can't find the key or have a way to get out of your apartment, that's a problem. Anyway.
Also, what's a hazard is having a lot of cocaine in your apartment.
True. And your system. So anyway, the police and the ambulance get there. Mario's rushed to the hospital where he dies from a crushed larynx, which... just like really freaks me out. Oh. The whole throat thing.
So it was the dog. It was the dog. Why would the dog attack him like that if that's his owner? That's so sad.
So Major, the dog, gets taken in. Obviously, they're like, what's going on? Why did this happen? This dog wasn't known to do that. So they run some tests to see what the heck. Turns out Major was high as a kite.
Oh.
He was 8 times the drug drive limit, which I didn't know that was really a thing. Like,
he could drive?
Well, the human limit was, he was 8 times that. Obviously, there is no, dogs don't drive. So,
okay.
So they did a urinalysis to determine that the dog had consumed cocaine and morphine. So the dog was clearly in an altered state. So it was kind of assumed that he saw his owner seizing and then just kind of like lost it. I don't know if the dog was put down or not. So that is kind of the tea. But I do want to mention, because you know me and my animals and my dogs and things.
Oh, we know.
So this was a Staffordshire Terrier, and these breeds get a bad reputation. But I want to quickly clarify about all of these breeds, these pit bulls and whatnot. First of all, pit bulls are actually not technically a breed, but they kind of like refer to a kind of dog. So, like, they're referring to, like, one of the following breeds. They're either, like, an American Pit Bull Terrier, American Staffordshire Terrier, Staffordshire Bull Terrier, and American Bully. So they all kind of have these, like, you know, square heads. They're muscly. They're adorable.
Yeah, I was about to say, is the kind of dog that we're talking about just, like, extremely cute? Like, if I look at an extremely cute dog, I'm like, that's a pit bull.
Well, yeah, so...
because they're adorable.
So a lot of people just, they just call them a pit. That just is kind of a way of saying they're one of these, like, beefy breeds that, you know, people associate negatively. So oftentimes people just completely misbreed them, and they just say that this is a pit bull, but so many times they're, like, majority something else. Like, my parents had this dog who, he looked... most people would say he was a pit, but we did like one of those DNA tests or whatever, and it said that he was like mostly a beagle. So
white people love doing those DNA tests, said lovingly.
Fair enough. Sure.
It's true. It's like, yes, that is correct.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We do that. or at least I do. So anyway, it's just a generic term that people use often misusing that term. Anyway, also, in my humblest of opinions, I feel like you know where I'm going with this. It's not necessarily that these dogs are bad. I think that it's more there are bad dog owners. So bad behaviors are either like allowed, they are allowed to carry out these behaviors, or they're like learned.
Like taking cocaine, you know? Well, like that's a learned behavior from a dog.
Well, yes, learned. But also, like, for example, if you leave stuff, like if you leave like a plate of food out and your dog eats the food or something, then they like, if they don't get disciplined properly, then they, I feel like I'm going to, I don't know that much about all of that, but you see where I'm going, I guess.
Sure, Taylor.
Anyway.
Dog expert.
Anyway.
So like if you leave out a plate of cocaine, that's the owner's
like
fault that it's going to get into it, you know?
Look, if
dogs be sniffing, like truly, if you think about it, the perfect cocaine addict are dogs. It's because they just sniff all the time. That's all they do.
It's about,
yeah, you know? They really are.
I feel like it's about how responsible the owner is. So like if you're leaving drugs out for the dog to get, or you're leaving these things out that they can get into, then that's problematic. But I'm not trying to victim blame Mario. You know, stuff just is happening. You know, you're on drugs, like you start to get a little irresponsible. That kind of stuff, I suppose it happens. But these cute little puppy dogs are super strong and muscly. So yes, often people use them for protection. And so the aggressive behavior can be taught, you know?
That's why, like, your little dog Gus is so aggressive, because he's an attack dog.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you taught him all of those maneuvers of, like, sitting in people's laps.
Yeah, while very wearing, aggressive. Like, a taco hat. So aggressive.
Yeah.
He does have a taco hat.
In sum, don't leave your morphine and cocaine out for the dog to get.
Also, PSA, I just want to mention that there are other typical household drugs that you probably have in your house that are extremely toxic to dogs, such as Advil, Motrin, Tylenol, antidepressants, sleep aids, and ADD medication, and so many more. If your dog has consumed any of these, take them to the vet stat. And lastly,
or meth.
Well, yes.
I know so many dogs on Prozac, another white people thing.
I mean, you got to like go to the vet and get that prescribed.
I take my dog's Prozac. It should be fine, right?
The last thing I will say to all of this is to adopt and don't shop. And my little angel, Gus, was a shelter boy. He's the greatest thing to ever hit the planet. So now I'm going to go cry thinking about how much I love him.
Well, thank you, Taylor. And thank you for getting through that. Nary a tear has been shed yet.
My eyes are just wet.
They're just a little wet.
Yeah.
But aren't we all? Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit more about animals on drugs after the break.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melanin
Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Oh, welcome back to Cadaver Gals. Taylor has jumped off of her soapbox PSA, animal PSA moment. And we're going to talk about some other animals on drugs, because I think here on Cadaver Gals, it's important to get to the bottom of the truth, even if the truth is explained a little badly and slightly inaccurately, you know, so that we can make jokes and draw parallels to our own lives. But, you know, that story was sad as heck, that the dog was on cocaine, and that was a true sad tale. But I want you all to know, because you've all been wondering, that meth gators are not real.
What?
I know. Wow, you might be thinking to yourself, I've never ever thought that alligators were on meth. But the truth is, you have been thinking that this whole time. In fact, it's the only thought you've ever had. So let's get down to business.
Let's get to business here.
I remember meth gators being a thing. Like, I was in high school and there was news that came out and I just believed it because Florida be crazy.
That was like a year ago.
Oh, never mind.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea when it was, but I just wanted to, okay, I just wanted to say
well,
you're young.
It was like, bitch,
well, I mean, it was like 2 years ago. So I don't know if that calculates correctly, because either Nika was like 21 and still in high school, or we're learning some new things.
Y'all know I didn't go to college. High school was really hard. I'm kidding.
I didn't go to college, but I did do high school twice.
The same thing.
Okay, so let's get down to business. Let's go back in time to July 2019, or 65 years ago, feeling. In this small town called Loretta, Tennessee. It's south of Nashville, very small population of like 1,700 people. And one day, their police station just put out this notice on Facebook that said that early this morning, they served a search warrant. And inside that home, they found Andy Perry attempting to flush methamphetamines along with several items of paraphernalia down the toilet. He was unsuccessful. He was then arrested for possession of meth and for selling meth and for drug paraphernalia, etc., etc. And then that was followed by saying, folks, please don't flush your drugs, okay? When you send something down the sewer pipe, it ends up in our retention ponds for processing before it is sent downstream. Now, our sewer guys take great pride in releasing water that is cleaner than what is in the creek, but they are not really prepared for meth. duck, geese, and other fowl frequent our treatment ponds, and we shudder to think what one all hyped up on meth would do. Furthermore, if it made it far enough, we could create meth gators in Shoal Creek and the Tennessee River down in North Alabama. Meth gators.
I'm sorry. So the police posted that on their Facebook. First of all, I want to clarify. I assume that this was in Florida because meth gators sound like a Florida thing.
Nope.
So I just find that hilarious. Two, the police posted this on their official Facebook page.
Well, I just wanted to say importantly that I think what is missing in the American police force is more jokes.
Ugh. I was just about to complain about that. Thank you, Gabby, for saying that. Like, this man really just cracked his knuckles after busting someone for meth and said, you know what? Let's make a lighthearted joke out of this.
No one ever makes lighthearted jokes out of something that's serious. No one on this podcast does stuff like that. But I guess we're also not the police. We should be clear that absolutely. We are not police.
You're not police.
Or are we?
I am not police. And I don't have the responsibility of police. So
we're not police. We're not scientists. We're not psychologists. We're nothing.
We're not
really.
Doctors.
But anyway, so after this was posted, they obviously got a lot of media inquiries from people around the world being like, yo, what the heck is a meth gator? Is that a real thing? And then a few days later, they posted like, hey, guys, that was a joke.
This is a really funny joke.
That was a funny joke. But the BBC had talked to the mayor of the town who was just like, I can't go anywhere now without hearing something about meth gators. And he said that, you know, it was clearly a joke, but the humor might have been lost on some people outside of the region, because that was a sophisticated meth gator joke that a lot of people wouldn't have gotten.
I mean, it's plausible, though, is the thing, you know, like it's
believable. I feel like it is plausible. Also, what kills me is the okay about not flushing your drugs. Like, okay, winky face.
Just keep them in your apartment with a bunch of
But I would say, okay, if you're trying not to get arrested for drugs, probably flush them down the toilet. I mean, they do make a good point, though, that, okay, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say.
Say it, Gabby.
That.
What will you say?
Here is what I'm going to say.
Nobody knows what Gabby's going to say.
Here is what I'm here. I've said it so much. I don't remember what I was going to say, but they did. Okay. They did in that Facebook post. They did make a good point, maybe less about meth gators, but more about like meth geese, like meth ducks, meth fowl.
Geese are insane.
Yeah. A goose on meth. No, thank you. That's almost scarier than an alligator, my opinion. That's my soapbox moment.
Thank you for sharing.
But there have been, you know, animals around the world, obviously, as Taylor told us, that have been up on some drugs. In the article from the BBC about these meth gators, they had mentioned there was another scandal in a nearby state, Alabama, a meth incident in Alabama where there was a squirrel that they think was on meth that was being kept in this dude's home, and then the squirrel attacked the dude. The squirrel did not give a fatal blow, but and they also didn't really know how to check the squirrel for meth, but it was showing some like methy behavior. What they did was they just released the squirrel into the wild. So who knows, there might still be a meth squirrel out there.
They did say, so in the articles that I was reading, it was saying that like this is in the event of cocaine, but like it shouldn't have stayed in it doesn't stay in their systems for that long. But that's cocaine. So I don't know about meth and squirrels.
I don't know how wily this squirrel is. Like, I don't know if he had connects or something and could keep getting his meth. But there is a study in the UK and they found cocaine and ketamine in some freshwater shrimp.
Oh.
Let me tell you, you don't make those into popcorn shrimp. You make those into poppers shrimp.
Oh my gosh, Gabby.
That was good.
Lol. And here's the thing. Okay, duck, geese, squirrels, shrimps. Okay, like, yeah, that makes sense that they could potentially be on drugs, of drugs that are accidentally put into the water system or whatever. But the thing about a gator is gators can weigh up to like 1,000 pounds, which means they would need to ingest a lot of meth to get high. How much meth? Well, I couldn't figure that out because when I typed into Google how much meth is too much meth, all that came up was the suicide hotline number. Oh. So alas, I didn't figure it out. But it would just be hard for the gators to get high enough to do any damage, you know, because also the meth would be diluted in the water. So, and also gators notoriously just, they don't drink enough water. You know, they're always dehydrated.
That's what their
that's
skin.
That's why their skin is so scaly.
Yeah, that's why their skin's so dry, is because they don't drink enough water.
We both saw it and we went for it. I love it.
So anyway, so I just wanted to set the record straight because everyone was wondering, are meth gators real? And they aren't. Okay.
This is important journalistic like ventures. I'm really, really happy, Gabby, that you opened up about this today and put the work in.
I think people just witnessed some journalism happen. So you're welcome.
Thank you,
you're
Gabby.
You're welcome.
Thank
no
you,
problem. So as Nika mentioned, it was really surprising that this story was set in the state of Tennessee because it does sound like a very Floridian story because Florida is filled with crazy things that happen. And yes, I'm stereotyping the whole state, but you know what? Sorry, sue me. Sue me, Florida. Come at me. But Nika actually does have a story in Florida. So that is the segue into Nika telling us about something crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy is not an appropriate word to use for this story. So I will say something bizarre happened.
Bizarre. Yes, Gabby, thank you so much. So I have a little bit of a fascination with Florida because it is just such a strange little place, in my opinion. You have like the bottom, which is very Latino, but then Central Florida is like insanely white supremacist. And then you have everything in between. It's just fascinating. So we're going to go over to Jupiter, Florida, and we're going to go all the way back to August 15th, 2016, which 2016 is actually the year I did graduate high school. So I was graduating high school when this happened. Amazing.
But the meth gators hadn't happened yet.
No, they
So I'm still not. Questioning your timeline, Nika.
Okay. Laughs nervously. Okay, so I'm actually underage. No, I'm kidding. So it's August 15th, 2016, and this is a crazy story. Martin County Sheriff deputies, they pull up to the home of a couple living in, as I said, Jupiter, Florida, because a neighbor had made a really intense 911 call saying that someone was being attacked and that he had been stabbed. Okay, we're going okay. for it. So immediately, the sheriffs, they noticed something is wrong because there is a huge trail of blood going down the driveway from the garage. So they enter the garage, and right in front of the garage, they find 19-year-old Austin Haroof on top of a 59-year-old John Stevens. And Austin was biting John's face off and growling. Yep, neck and face. Now, Michelle, John's wife, was nearby, and she had been beaten and was unresponsive, unconscious, probably dead. They tried to get Austin off of John's body, but he refused. And they literally had to tase him, kick him in the head multiple times, and actually wait for a law enforcement dog to come and to get Austin off of him. Because the dog was literally biting Austin's arms, trying to get him off of John. And he resisted intensely. It's insane. Like, he was on, I don't know what was going on, but it was just absolutely bananas. There was a point when Austin literally yelled, "Just kill me." And it was just a really intense, terrible struggle. And I know this because I saw like a 7-minute YouTube video of the sheriff describing the incident and going through the garage and showing exactly where things happened. So let's go back a little bit. So there is a 911 phone call available to listen where Mina, Austin's mom, called prior to this attack. So apparently what had happened is Austin and his father were out for dinner and Austin just took off. It seems like he had been acting strange pretty recently. His mom was worried about him. His sister was also kind of worried about him. And he and his father got into an argument and he left the restaurant with no ID, just a pocket knife. And he left on foot and then somehow stumbled into Michelle and John's neighborhood. And they were outside.
Just fleeing dinner.
I know. Yeah, very strange. Like, why would you want to leave a good, you know, restaurant? Good suburban restaurant. Good Applebee's, you know?
A good Applebee's. Get those apple teenies.
Mm-hmm. Post-pandemic, I want to finally go to an Applebee's.
That's what you've been waiting for this whole time.
Now, Mina also told the 911 operator that he had been saying very weird things, like he felt immortal, he felt invincible, he said he had superhero powers, and this was very worrying for her. Austin's case is really fascinating and has a lot to do with mental health and mental illness, and I just think his family saw signs for a while, for a couple of months, and maybe just didn't react in time. So this is what happened. He grew up in Florida, in Palm Beach Gardens, and his parents got divorced when he was 14, but he had a pretty good upbringing, according to his family. They were like, you know, middle class, middle to upper class, kind of. He had good grades. He wanted to be a doctor. His grandfather was a doctor, and he was entering his sophomore year at FSU. He was in a fraternity. His friends mentioned that he was kind of weird, kind of off, like maybe he lacked some social skills, but for the most part, everything seemed normal. So he was home for the summer when the incident happened, and all of that year, the year 2016, he was just acting a little bit strange. So authorities were able to do a deep dive into his internet history and his laptop and his phone, and what they found was disturbing. He was writing things that just seemed kind of delusional, kind of like strange. He had a YouTube channel where he would post exercise tips. It seems that he was really into bodybuilding. Covers of songs, original rap songs, and rants.
Is that weird? I feel like I've posted all of those things online before.
Lovingly, Gabby, I don't know. I will say I think all of us struggle with mental illness. So, you know, I'd be talking to Instagram stories as if I have, you know, like an audience, and I don't. So I think we all have our own thing. Taylor, I don't know. I guess you'd be talking to Gus.
Oh, yeah.
I know she does, actually. But yeah, he is quoted in some of the videos saying things like, I've got a psycho side and a normal side. Or like he would freestyle rap and he would mention stabbing people in his lyrics. Also, good to note, he had started that YouTube account 5 months prior to the killings, and he posted most of the videos just a month before he stormed out of the restaurant and attacked the couple. So
things were snowballing, it seems like.
Things were snowballing, precisely. Also, one of his, because you can listen, like you can watch these videos and you can listen to them. It's really interesting. And one of his rap songs, the cover is like of like evil SpongeBob. And it's like one of those like extremely edited memes. And I was just like, oh my gosh, he's just like us. I'd be sending SpongeBob memes.
Yeah.
Anyway, also something to note is that his internet search history was kind of strange too. He was Googling things like how to know if you're going crazy, obsessive thoughts, how to sell my soul to the devil, how to be happier or more likable, characteristics of a great person. In one essay in 2014, he wrote, "What I want to be is to become more confident and social." He also said, "I also want to be more well-known because right now I feel as though I am unknown." In another essay, he was quoted saying that he didn't want to be worshipped, but he felt like it was going to happen regardless, which, okay.
He's felt like he was destined to be a leader of some sort.
I think so. I think that sometimes when you, and I'll get more into it, but sometimes when you experience stuff like mania or manic episodes, you feel like you're on top of the world. You feel like, and you have delusions of grandeur at times. And it seems like maybe he was suffering from something severe that made him feel this way.
Yeah. This also feels really similar to this one true crime series that I worked on about someone in a similar case where it's kind of like you have these symptoms coming on that are really similar to like, you know, a variety of different mental illnesses, but then it's like really hard to like go back in time and actually piece together what that mental illness is because it's like Absolutely. Really prescriptive and
yeah. I don't
know. It's very complicated.
It is. And also like I think of how hard it is to note these things in people because you don't really, it's hard to tell whether someone's being manic or whether they're just excited, you know, it's hard to tell. And sometimes people go through phases, you know, you don't know if maybe his family, they were just thinking, oh, he's just kind of going through a phase or like, oh, he's just posting these things like, you know, for fun or as a way of creative expression. Like, I feel like they just did not see it coming, which is terrifying, you know, to look back on. So on the day of the killings, also, this is important to note, it seems like Austin's delusions were pivoting from grandeur and feeling like a superhero to he was Googling characteristics of a centaur. And his sister actually mentioned that he had told her that he believed he had powers and that he also believed he was half animal. He had also looked up dog spirits, and it seemed like he believed he was half dog and he was protected by dog spirits around him. His dad also, there was a Dr. Phil episode, and in that episode, his dad mentioned that their family does have a history of schizophrenia, which could be what had happened to Austin. So they take him to a hospital because he's unconscious, that like they had to pull him away by sheer force, and he was not, you know, backing off of this guy's face. They obviously arrest him. There was a rumor that went around that he had eaten bath salts or was on drugs, but his toxicology report came back negative, except for the meds that they gave him in the hospital. So it was not drug use. So he spends weeks in the hospital just recovering and then eventually goes to jail to await his trial. He was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder and 1 account of attempted murder for stabbing the neighbor when the neighbor tried to save John and Michelle. So I did find this kind of crazy. While he's in jail, PETA actually found out about his case and they sent in a request to the sheriff's office asking that he be put on a vegan diet while he was in jail, which I just found funny. That's strange. I just find like,
well, it's so PETA, random. Back off, dudes.
PETA's like, oh, I know what will cure him, a vegan diet. And listen, I love PETA, but I don't think a vegan diet is what will help this person.
Yeah, it's like a lot more complex. And like the reason he wanted to eat a human's face is because he hadn't embraced veganism yet.
They're just like, cannibalism? Let me pull up real quick. It's because you eat meat. Anyway, so his attorneys decide to use the insanity plea in his case. And so obviously he had to go through a lot of psychological evaluations while awaiting his trial. Now, I went through his most recent one, which was in 2019, and the psychiatrist did deem him legally insane when he attacked the couple. The psychiatrist also said that Austin experienced an acute psychotic episode. So apparently from all of his interviews and the time spent with Austin, and this is in 2019 now that this was done. Remember that the actual act happened in 2016. Austin mentions that he was seeing things like an all-black figure with a white face. And Austin also mentions that when he attacked Michelle, it was like she had a darkness all over that he had to attack, basically. He also admitted to feeling like he had powers. And again, he said himself that he felt like he was half dog and half man. In the report, he also states that he felt kind of isolated growing up and not accepted. It seemed like he had really low confidence and he was never happy with himself. And this is a really interesting tidbit of information that I feel like could be connected to his psychotic episode. He started using a lot of drugs in 2016, like from weed to meth to cocaine to Adderall. Here's what's interesting about this. So he started all of these drugs, which obviously can do a lot to your system, especially if you might have, you know, mental illness in your family. But then he suddenly quit in August, which, as we know, the attacks happened in August. He sent his mom a text telling her that he quit every drug because they made him vulnerable to evil. He sent her that text a couple of days before the attack happened. It seemed like he got super religious and reported feeling like Jesus, just invincible, and he was fighting dark forces. And I can't help but wonder if his immediate break from drugs could have spurred on a psychotic episode, question mark. And, you know, we're not doctors. We don't know this. I just cannot imagine his system being so overwhelmed with all of, you know, these chemicals and then suddenly stopping could have caused
like the withdrawal
problems. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, regardless of what directly caused it, it seems like he was going through a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. He was experiencing obviously extreme paranoia. He said that he would hear things. He couldn't sleep at night. Like it was bad. And when Dr. Phil interviewed him, he mentions having no recollection of the attack. And there's like a video of him in jail during this interview, and he's just like sobbing because he can't believe what he did, you know?
That's really sad so to like not even be able to remember really or know that that's something that you did.
Absolutely. So, Yeah, the psychiatrist recommended that if he is found to be insane, according to the court, that they transport him to a mental hospital against his, like, whether he wants to or not. That's where he'll be, because he is a danger to himself and to those around him, essentially. He had a trial in 2020, finally. It was set for May, but I think it might have been moved because of COVID. So I'm not sure what his status is, other than, yes, he is still in jail, obviously, and either he'll go to jail if he's not deemed insane, according to the court, or he will go to a mental hospital.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've heard about this story mentioned from time to time as just like a ha-ha, this cannibal in Florida, ha-ha. But yep, as usual, once you get into the nuances into it, you're like, oh, shit.
It is a really sad, hard, tragic story. And I mean, obviously, there's no excuse for what he did, but also you have to address the fact that this was mental illness, like severe mental illness.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was heavy.
Well, 'twas heavy. And after the break, we'll be a little less heavy, God willing. And if the creek don't rise, all right, we'll be right back.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Okay, we're back. Here's another thing we're going to talk about. Another hoax, but related to cannibalism, which I now feel like is a vaguely inappropriate tangent based on the sad story about mental health that had happened. But some cannibalism did happen. So we're going to talk a little bit about cannibalism. So
I love some cannibalism stories.
But okay, it's also, we're doing some cross promotion right now, so sorry, but our company just put out a podcast called Astray, and yeah, it's pretty good. I worked on it.
It's so good.
You'll hear me for a sentence saying something kind of stupid, but as the producer, I feel like that's fine. That's my role. And the reason I bring it up is because when we were doing the podcast, we met this guy who Caroline Slaughter, the host, interviewed a few times, and his name's Michael Yon, and his hobby is cannibal hunting.
Such a hobby.
Yeah, it's his hobby. That's something that he does. And specifically, he's done it in reference to going to India and having encounters with this type of sadhu, which is a holy man in Hinduism. They're called the Aghori. It's a very, very small sect of people. And they actually do eat deceased bodies. So dead corpses, they find them in the river Ganges, which is considered a holy river. I think it's like 3,000 bodies are thrown into the Ganges every year. And they'll like fish out some of the bodies. Yeah. And they'll like eat parts of them.
What? Why are they in the, why are they there?
The Aghori or the bodies?
The bodies. The bodies.
Well, because the river is considered holy, it is thought that it kind of, if you toss a body into the river, it will like purify it. It will make you, I forget exactly what it's called, but it is something about purification of the spirit if you throw a dead body in there. It is now apparently illegal to throw bodies in it, but lots of people still do it, obviously.
But ironically, you would then potentially get eaten.
Yes, by an Aghori. Probably, I mean, I really doubt they eat 3,000 bodies a year, but they do eat some bodies a year. And there's some like pretty visceral descriptions in the podcast that you can, you know, listen to it to hear them. But there's like this one where, so Michael Yon, the cannibal hunter, he saw an Aghori actually eat a man one time. And then he also described...
My goodness.
He described this also this really haunting image, which was an Aghori who used a dead dog carcass as a pillow for months.
No.
And the reason they do this, the way that Michael describes it in the podcast, he says that they believe God created everything right and the god or the gods are perfect. Therefore, everything is perfect in the world. Therefore, if you're disgusted by anything, you're disgusted by God, and you should seek to overcome everything that disgusts you. Just seek to overcome the emotion of disgust. So basically, it's just like doing all the most taboo shit is really in service of, you know, the gods, because the gods made the world perfect. So if you're disgusted, you're a bad person.
I kind of hear that like when eating ass for the first time. Oh. but I feel like healthy boundaries. Question mark.
Yeah. And like, you know, there's a lot of other complicated things wrapped up in like what the Aghori believe. But they do. These are cannibals who be existing for real. But while we were doing research for Astray, Michael at one point sent us this website of a secret cannibalistic society in Los Angeles.
It would be LA. Ugh.
It's the most organic thing to eat.
It's, come on, just eat yourself, guys. And it's kind of funny because they claim members like Katy Perry, Chelsea Clinton, Anderson Cooper, and Meryl Streep are all part of this cannibalistic society. But it was, you know, it's pretty easy to prove that this all was made up. It's all fake. Like, you know, it was funny because they have like a staff page and it's really easy to find the pictures of the staff. People are just like Getty images. It's also like the website's IP number traces back to this phone number that's known for scams. So it's not real. This is all a hoax. But for a minute there, I was really convinced it was a real thing, because I was like, LA, these fancy people in LA, yeah, they're like eating people.
Gabby, you're just hoax breaking. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to, so the basically like their mission statement, because it's basically like a dining experience, the Cannibal Club, specializing in the preparation of human meat. The Cannibal Club brings the cutting edge of experimental cuisine to the refined palates of LA's cultural elite. Which is hilarious.
LA, sometimes I'm just like, you need to go be on your own.
I mean, it says something about LA where like for a second I was like, oh, I mean, probably. There's like probably.
Like, this tracks. This makes sense.
This tracks. But yeah, so their menu, You know, they said that they are collaborating with visiting cooks from around the world because, you know, there's just so many cooks out
there. Gordon Ramsay's like, I'm coming for that, to cook for that.
And the meat we serve is selected from the young and healthy.
Oh.
Okay, I remember this conspiracy, though. I remember this conspiracy because my friend told me about it. She's like, Hillary Clinton eats babies. Like,
well, it's not Hillary, it's her daughter, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. My point is, though, this was like a big conspiracy, and I just remember kind of looking at my friends and being like, what?
I mean, it's definitely like QAnon adjacent.
Oh, yeah.
But each dish, they say it's an homage to the dead who are reborn into the bodies of their customers. Well, that would be worse if you ate an alive body, though. Like, if it came back alive. I'm not a fan.
Absolutely. Another thing about LA is what I will say. It's so hard to divide, like, hoax from real, because that's a hoax. But it is a real thing to take your own blood and then put it in a...
A vial. I know exactly where you're going.
Take your own blood and put it in a vial and then have it separated and then inject the blood back inside of you because apparently it makes you look younger. Like, literally, that's the thing that they do. And it's like, you hear that, you're like, no, that's not a thing that they do in LA. They do it all the time. I've been wanting to do it. It's called a vampire facial. Okay. I'm not kidding.
But here's the other suspicious thing. It's like somebody went out of their way to, like, create this hoax, create this, like, weird menu and this whole theory that it was a thing.
Yeah, some people have free time, you know? That's the problem.
You as a producer, I mean, don't understand that, Taylor.
That's the problem with the Industrial Revolution, is that it gave laborers free time. So okay. Then you make a fake cannibal restaurant website.
Gabby,
you
know, comes out as anti-union in this podcast, everyone.
I'm against the union. That's, you know, I think we should just go back to 14-hour days.
Gabby's like, also children's labor, like, children should have never gotten rights to begin with.
Okay, this is a good point, though. Like, if we had never gotten rid of the every hour of the day work day, then we wouldn't have QAnon. Think about that
conspiracy. Gabby's like, I'm just coming up with conspiracies all on my own on the fly.
That's how conspiracy people sound, though. They'll literally be like, hey, so you know Kim Kardashian? And then, like, somehow trace it all back to, and that's, like, why they're child trafficking in, like, Wayfair online. Did you guys remember that?
That was weird.
Yeah. Like, Wayfair online sex traffickers. I don't know.
Okay. But here are some on this fake menu. I mean, they say a normal penne pasta with meat sauce, but, you know, special meat. They also have a placenta lasagna. Mm-mm.
Women do eat their own placenta.
Yeah, they do. So I guess that is cannibalism, but don't do it as a surprise. Okay, now that I'm looking at the menu, because it's penne pasta with meat sauce, sirloin steak, liver and mushroom pierogies, placenta lasagna, and Mrs. Lovett's meat pies. Now that I'm looking at this, I think the way you could disprove this conspiracy theory, this hoax, is that that is too many carbs for LA's elite to go eating.
Yeah, where's the poke bowls?
Exactly. I mean, that's. I think that is the most, now looking at this, I'm like, yeah, this is fake because they wouldn't be having any of that bread. Maybe the sirloin steak,
Gabby,
but.
You are genius.
Katy Perry would not have like a meat pie. She wouldn't.
Like, I mean, they're all so frail and skinny there. You can't have any carbs. You can't do that. That's crazy.
Oh, wow. Another hoax disproven by Gabby.
Like the one that was already disproved. I disproved it.
Again.
Double disprovement. Wow.
Yeah.
Good job, Gabby.
Thank you. Wow. I feel really smart. Okay. So this has been another.
We validated Gabby too much today. I'm sorry.
We did. Okay. So guys, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Nika Taylor, any last closing thoughts?
No.
Just thinking about that placenta lasagna.
Much to think about. Yeah.
Placenta lasagna. Maybe like a placenta like grain bowl.
That feels more accurate.
This feels more real. So those are my notes for this website.
Avocado toast.
With a gallbladder. So anyway, thanks for listening to Cadaver Gals. And you'll hear from us next week.
Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals is a podcast produced by School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It's made by me, Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. You can follow us on the internet on Instagram and Twitter at Cadaver Gals. See you next time, suckers.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.